In NASCAR, Kimball Truck Series, Xfinity Series, in the NASCAR Cup Series, great decisions in all of motorsports. And here in just a few minutes, special guest will be on here. This is a special guest edition of the podcast. Guest will be on here in a few. I'll reveal that here just momentarily. I like to obviously talk about the bubble in this podcast when this episode comes out on this upcoming Tuesday. We're gonna know already who won Road America. The debut for the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series has been up there the last couple years. This is the first go round for the Cup Series. I'm recording this. This is a busy day of podcasting for me on this Friday, June. Oh my goodness. Woo-hoo. Yeah, it's been a long week, July 2nd, 2021, and recording this special guest edition of the Bray Wyatt NASCAR podcast with EG3 coming up next in like a few minutes. First time on the podcast, none other than Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson will be on the podcast. Part of course, JoJo Wilkinson Racing. We'll get to her story and all that momentarily. Cannot wait to have her on the podcast. Been kind of been following what she's been doing here the last couple of months. So figure out, you know, why don't you ask her to be on the podcast? Then she was more than willing to be on. So very excited to have her on the show. But kind of to switch gears while we're waiting on JoJo to call in the podcast here real quick. This is going to change the bubble picture, but regardless, I'm going to talk about it anyways. Road America is going to have its challenges. Obviously, it's a road course, and it's going to be something to see what happens unfolds this weekend, July 4th weekend, after recording of this podcast. But we're all going to know this is going to change big time, and I'm taking a closer look at this thing. Obviously, if the field resetted this weekend, obviously, Denny Hamlin will be up there in the mix despite no wins. That's the big thing. No wins. He or Kevin Harvick. No wins to the point. And Kevin Harvick actually would have top 10 points, but he does not have a win either. I don't think he has a stage win this year either. Well, that might change. I'm just going to put it out there now. It might change between here and there, but it might not, because you know these road course ringers are going to be up front doing it, even though Harvick will be double dutying at Road America. So we're going to see how that goes for him. But right now, as of right now, Christopher Bell and they were both outside the top 16 in points, it looked like. For one thing here, let me go back here real quick. Yeah, so Bell, actually, Christopher Bell, 16th, Michael McDowell, 17th. If you look at the original standings, that's where they are. Michael McDowell, that's the meter. That's what I talked about previously on this podcast. We need to be looking out for him, but it turns out you better be paying attention to Christopher Bell, too, because he's not too far out, and he and Michael McDowell right now separated by 5 points. Daniel Suarez is a few points. He's not just a few points. He's a couple. Yeah, he is a few points. So I'm gonna take that right back. He is not too far back away from those guys. Stenhouse had a rough weekend as well. Kurt Busch has been coming on as of late, but you switch it back to the playoff points position right now. Chris Buescher would actually. No, he'll mess it. He'll mess the playoffs. He and Daniel Suarez, Kurt Busch, that summer run has him in right now. In the 14th spot right now. Chris Buescher, he has some work to do. But not that much. So you gotta pay attention to these guys like Daniel Suarez, Matthew DiBenedetto. I think you know my thoughts about him on this podcast. Everybody thought he was going to be that guy to finally be one of those first time winners. It has not come to fruition yet. With what, some 8 races to go, and before the playoffs, obviously have 3 more races left before the 2-week break actually. For the Olympic Games here, I'm going to be switching, talking at the same time. Let's see here. Yeah, so you have Road America, but when this podcast comes out, we're going to be getting ready for New Hampshire. No. We're going to be going to Atlanta, and then New Hampshire, and then a 2-week break. Then we reset for August 8th, Watkins Glen. This is the Cup Series that we're talking about. I'm talking about, folks. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Road Course Edition style. Michigan, Daytona. That's it. So you got 4 races. That's it, folks. Out of the 2-week break. So technically, you got 7 races left until the playoffs. I thought we were in the old school race to the chase 10-week mode, but obviously that's not the case. We got 7 races to go, and when Road America hits, 6 races to go. When we get ready for the second weekend of Atlanta, obviously we were there earlier this year with Ryan Blaney knocking off Kyle Larson there. But yeah, 6 races to go before it goes down, the playoffs go down, and we're quickly running out of time. So you better get what you can get, obviously. Road America is going to be in the books. We're all going to know when this podcast rolls out with JoJo Wilkinson who won Road America. So we're going to know that. When this podcast rolls out, we're getting ready for Atlanta, then New Hampshire, and then you got a 2-week break. And yeah, you're going to have to figure out some of those guys. You're going to have to figure out something quick. Because you got to turn around and go another road course. Watkins Glen is right out of the break. Indy, that's back-to-back road course races. That's the last. No, you still got, I think, Charlotte? It's in there, maybe, possibly. No, we got Charlotte in the playoffs, so still 3 road courses left this year in the Cup Series. Michigan and Daytona, which was a thriller last year. And with the big way this is going right now, it looks like it's shaping up to be another thriller in the regular season finale. But that's what it stands right now. But this could definitely change when the podcast rolls out. I'm just rolling with the punches right now. It's only going to get interesting from here. Both RCR cars still hanging on. No playoff points yet, obviously. Last year, Austin Dillon won a race last year that got him in the playoffs. Right there. And right there, he's almost 50 to the good right now. Buescher, right now, he's going to have to keep that going. But with this Road America stuff, this could all change. In a blink of an eye, Eddie Greer, 3Y NASCAR Podcast EG3 waiting for our special guest this evening. That in the person of Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson will be on here from, of course, JoJo Wilkinson Racing here in a matter of moments, just waiting on her for that red light to go off here. But yeah, definitely things are getting interesting there. So, but Michael McDowell, who is a former winner at Road America, could come up and do something big up there. I've been thinking about that lately as well. So this could really, really shake things up here down the stretch. Obviously, Atlanta, we're there earlier, and then New Hampshire, another short track there. Could change some things around, especially with the strategy that we've seen in the series for the last 2 to 3 races. And we're probably going to get another one at Road America here on this weekend as I'm recording this podcast on July 4th weekend. Again, July 2nd, 2021 as well. But definitely Kurt Busch's surge here has put him in the playoffs. It was Chris Buescher. It was Chris Buescher in that spot. He's been booted out. Theory of Kurt Busch and Ganassi Racing, obviously. The big news coming out of this week that Trackhouse Racing getting Chip Ganassi's equipment, all of it, in the Cup Series. And I talked about that on the previous edition of the podcast, which that should be already out. by the time this podcast rolls out. Again, if you missed out on any other recent episodes of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, please tell your friends and any other of your NASCAR buddies about the 3Y NASCAR podcast EG3. And by the way, you can find the 3Y NASCAR podcast EG3 wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. Again, once again, it's at Eddie_EG3 here as I check my phone here. Make sure this message. Okay, that's not. that's not what I say right there. So, yeah, I mean, that's not what. Anyways. But hey, I mean, you gotta looking forward to it here on the podcast, obviously. So can't believe it already. I thought we had like nine races to go. I swore we got like nine races to go. Turns out I'm a race off. seven races to go when this episode comes out. Six to go. Atlanta. It was a Kyle Larson show. There's no question about that. It's been a Kyle Larson show since really. You gotta go back. Mid-April, somewhere in there. Kyle Larson just taking over. And yes, he did not win Pocono, but he almost did. But a tire went down. Bowman stole the show there. And Hendrick Motorsports, his streak ends at six. Or at six or seven. It ended at six. And sorry to be the jinx. I had to say something about it. But yeah, it's Hendrick Motorsports' the world right now. And who knows when, again, I keep saying this, by the time this podcast rolls out, you know, will Chase Elliott win another road course race, or will Kyle Larson stun the field again, but win another road course race, or will somebody else step up to the plate and do something with them, like a Martin Truex Jr. in there, or a strategy play like a Penske in there, or somebody outside? I mean, you got to look at the playoff position right now, and the road course, it's too predictable right now. I've said this. A lot of people have said this time and time. If you take the stages out of it, you can see massive. You can see creativity in this type of racing. But obviously, it's just too predictable. I mean, if you win stage one, you can play for track position and not go for the stage points. And then you let it fall for a set. But Road America is really going to be really interesting to see how this goes. I'm excited, but at the same time, you know, very curious to see what happens there. Obviously, I believe we're going to get qualifying from, let's see. Yeah, we're going to get qualifying here. Let's see. I'm going to go back again, still in the Cup Series, though. We're going to get practice tomorrow, obviously. Obviously, practice will be way over by then. Yeah, you're going to get qualifying, and so you're going to get qualifying for the Cup Series. Cup Index, and they've been there before, so I believe they're going to get the same treatment as well. So we're going to see practice qualifying the old traditional style, and we're going to definitely see racing for sure. Look forward to that as well. And then, obviously, left out on the last episode of the EG3 podcast, was IndyCar. We're going to go up to the middle groove real quick with that. They're going to be mid-Ohio, so that's going to be a double dose of racing on Sunday. And obviously, we'll know. Future Eddie, we will know what happens there. As well, IndyCar, mid-Ohio kicks things off, doubleheader there. Then the Cup Series follows that as well. So very interesting stretch here coming up. And then the two-week Olympic break there. The guys that are outside looking in, you're going to have to think it over. And you're going to have to think fast, because those 2 weeks could go very fast as well. So definitely interesting stretch coming up for the Cup Series. We got pretty much basically, I'm going to roll with six to go when this podcast goes out. Road America will be in the books. So six races to go, Atlanta, New Hampshire, and then the break there, and then back-to-back road course races, and then the 2.5-mile fast-paced Michigan, and then before you know it, Daytona is going to be right upon us already. Wow, already. So yeah, I missed the boat on that. That's for sure. As well, I'm going to cut in here for a quick timeout.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
here this evening. Eddie Gritter III, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, still waiting on JoJo to call into the show. We should hopefully get her here in a few moments here, as well as kind of is going over Road America a little bit here. And again, future Eddie is in the building here. This podcast comes out next Tuesday night. we'll definitely know who won these races. I'm trying to double type and talk at the same time. That's not working out very well. So, you know, that's what. There we go. So now, I mean, take a look here real quick while we have some extra time on the other series, obviously. I do want to expand a little more on Trackhouse Racing and grabbing Chip Ganassi. Obviously, it was already a well thought out decision. Chip Ganassi Racing deciding, you know, it's time to hand over the torch, and none other than to hand over a torch to one of his fellow co-workers who used to work with him, that being the place of Trackhouse owner, Justin Marks. So I do want to expand on that, but I'm going to save that for the next edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, as well. I've talked about Trackhouse and 2311 Racing on this podcast, especially on the last edition episode. If you have not gone back and checked it out, please do that as well, prior to the racing at Road America, the Cup race anyways, down there as well. Kind of to take a look here at Atlanta a little bit. Obviously, if you want to go back a little bit to, yeah, let's go there. So Atlanta, obviously, last time we were there, I already talked about it with Kyle Larson, dominant all race long, and then you turn around and Ryan Blaney's right there. You can't get the win. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens the next time around. Obviously here, and I want to get the fast version. I want the slow version. So yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Atlanta, again, one of those wore out racetracks that we saw. And if we go back, obviously, Blaney won the race, obviously, there. Bowman finishing second place. Then Alex Bowman finished third. Denny Hamlin fourth. Kyle Busch was in the top five there. Austin Dillon, Chris Buescher. Again, he's one of the bubble drivers trying to get himself into playoff position. William Byron was eighth. Mark Trix Jr., Kevin Harvick was your top 10 from race one Atlanta. Going back, I believe this was in March. March 21st there. Blaney actually had a strong car all race long in this thing. You know, he definitely had a long run car, made the right adjustments, and then all of a sudden that car just took off. He was there. Obviously, Larson and Logano got into a racing duel there in the final restart there. And then either Cliff Daniels made the wrong adjustment there, or Larson abused his tires too quick, and Blaney was there to snatch it up right there. So it'll be interesting to see if Blaney can go sweep the races in Atlanta coming up, or will Larson get a little redemption from dominating the races and not coming up with a checkered flag there as well. So, and speaking of Larson, let's go real quick to him battling Denny Hamlin. Again, this is a tight battle. I'm recording this pre-Road America weekend, and right now, at the moment of this podcast, this can definitely change right now. Larson has made a deficit up big time on hand, Denny Hamlin. He is, as I now get it off from the playoff position to the actual points right now, only two back. He was, what, some 100 points back a month or so ago in this winning races, finishing second, top five most of the time, top threes, all these points now. gobbled up Hamlin's lead. That lead has been erased to 2. This could definitely change when this episode rolls out. 2 points separate Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson for the lead. And it's now, folks, it's officially heated up. That is for sure. Wow, how things can change in a matter of weeks, but wins for sure. Denny Hamlin, no wins to this point still. Again, Denny Hamlin could win this weekend, and that could change. Again, going into the future, Eddie here on the show. Denny Hamlin right now, 10 top fives, 13 top tens there. A big one, no DNS for him. 768 laps led. That could add also, but we'll have to see what happens at Road America. Obviously, that could change. Change pending. Kyle Larson. Again, 2 points separate him from Denny Hamlin from the regular season title there. And obviously, if you win that, you get additional 15 playoff points. Remember, that could be huge going forward. Now, obviously, we all know what happened with Harvick last year and winning all those races and then kind of struggling in the semifinal round that put him in a hole, and he could never recover from it, especially from Texas 1 year ago. So, but yeah, I find this interesting now, and not too far back, even though he's going to have some help, is William Byron, who has that one at Homestead. 8 top fives, 14 top tens. Larson, 4 wins this year already. He could have another one when by the time his podcast comes out. 11 top fives and 14 top tens. Both he and Larson, Byron, have a DNF here to this point of the season. That's how far I'm going to go, because next for this one is Logano, and he's going to have to give help from all three of those guys, jokers, out over there. So definitely, you know, not what, if you're Denny Hamlin, this is not what you wanted right here. But now you're going to have to work for it for sure and try to get that in, especially when you don't. You're up at the top spot right now. I believe he has a couple of stage wins in there. So you do have stage wins to fall back on, but you definitely want, if you don't have those wins, you definitely want to have that precious 15 playoff points there to have a shot at this thing. So definitely things have heated up all of a sudden. And again, when this podcast rolls out on Tuesday night, definitely this could definitely change. Kyle Larson could definitely be leading the regular season standings when this podcast comes out, or will Denny Hamlin hold serve and lead it into Atlanta as well? So definitely keep your eyes on this battle, and this battle is definitely going to continue right through Daytona. That's for sure. So find out very interesting here. Larson's summer charge continues to roll, and it could roll very right into Road America here coming up. After recording this podcast, anyways, and definitely he's going to be eyeing Atlanta. That's for sure. After giving that race away back in March, folks, we're going to take our intermission break right here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Still waiting our special guest this evening, that in the person of Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson here. Still waiting on her, so we're going to have to wait and see. Let's put our seatbelts on, and we'll see what happens when we come out of the break. Folks, stay tuned for more 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3.
Coming out of turn 4, we're back with the 3Y podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
NASCAR podcast continues. We're still waiting on JoJo Wilkinson to come on his podcast. Eddie Greer, third, aka EG3, King of World Truck Series and Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports here. And yeah, we're still, yes, ladies and gentlemen, three ride crew, we're still waiting on Joe Lynn to call into the show, so I don't know what's going on there with that. So I'm going to continue to roll through here with Wood Brothers Racing in their situation. Obviously, Austin Cindric, and you got to go back to Brad Keselowski. This all started with Keselowski being the news for being part-time owner driver for Roush Fenway. That's almost certified now that it's been kind of in the news for a couple weeks now. It was first rumored a few weeks back. Can't remember exactly when that happened exactly, but Brad Keselowski is going to be moving on from Penske Racing after the year's over. Todd Gordon is going to be retiring, champion crew chief at the end of the year. He is set to retire. I talked about that in the last edition of the podcast as well. And Joey Logano is going to be the mainstay there. But, Austin Cindric. Now, obviously, he's still got unfinished business in the Xfinity Series. I mean, he's on a mission to repeat as champion. He won already, and he could likely win again. Again, future Eddie, future EG3. When this podcast comes out, he could likely have another win on a road course. But you know how these things go. Sometimes you can win and be in the right position to do that, but other times you get caught up in somebody else's mess. I mean, we've seen it from time to time, but Cindric, he could definitely be in the mix for another road course win. There, we'll see what unfolds there. But Cindric knows he's going to go cup racing next year. And it was actually, I thought all eyes were pointing to that 21 car, and for sure. Obviously, Matty D holds that car right now, and again, I keep going back to this point. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone back and talked about this, but, you know, everyone, maybe with the exception of me a little bit, you know, it was a beautiful story. It's still a beautiful story. But, you know, Matty D, you know, going from ride to ride, things like that, and got re-signed to the 21 car, obviously, for this year. And we don't know where he's going to go. And we don't know where our Cindric is going to go, because all odds are going to point that 21 car, but Keselowski is going to leave that 2 car, so could Cindric possibly go in that 2 car? I don't know. But you know what silly season brings out? It's only going to heat up like this humidity as time goes on. But DiBenedetto still looking for that first win for himself, but not only that, trying to deliver win 100 for the Wood Brothers. And there's only a handful of races left. I've gone over at least the regular season. Regular season, you got Atlanta still, New Hampshire, then the 2-week break, and then you have back-to-back road courses in Michigan and Daytona. So I don't, man, it's really hard to see where DiBenedetto is going to get that. Now, obviously, Daytona, I throw that in there because anything can happen there. And DiBenedetto is, again, right up in the mix of those drivers trying to fight his way to get in the playoffs. And it looks like it's going to be the same situation for him again, unless he gets an upset win somewhere before then. But until then, I think he's going to be right back where he was last year with that whole situation. And you know, that's a good race team over there. So, you know, we see them have good run success over there. But again, the biggest one, you have to get the victory in lane. Matt DiBenedetto has not gotten himself into victory lane. That's the concern right there. You mean, you can have all the hype behind you, but if you can't follow through with success. I mean, yes, he's had bad luck, especially early on in the year. He came on after the first, you know, handful of races there, but yeah, he's yet to put himself. I think it was actually he's put himself once or twice in a position to win. I know he did that definitely last year, but couldn't cash in. And now you're talking about, you know, these guys out here, you know, trying to put yourself in that position to get yourself in the victory lane, and he has not just done that yet here in his time. And his time's running out with the Wood Brothers, and I don't know where he's going to land. Obviously, with the news of Trackhouse Racing, obviously taking over the Ganassi plant, you know, you're going to have that second car there. So there's going to be that opening there, 2311 Racing. But all eyes looking at Kurt Busch from that spot there. Yeah, I mean, I don't see him being promoted to that two car. I don't. You know, he hasn't won a race. He still hasn't even won a race yet. That's Daniel Hemric territory right there. You know, all the hype and success. You know, I was on the hype band with Daniel Hemric there, but for whatever reason, he and Hemric and De Benedetto are on the same plane together. I mean, they cannot seem, you know, to get themselves in the victory lane. Daniel Hemric in the Xfinity Series. Yes, you know, you're in the good equipment. You're in JGR equipment, obviously, so you know you're in the best equipment, top flight equipment in the Xfinity Series, and you're putting yourselves in bad position. Unfortunately, now, some of it's bad luck, obviously, but again, some of that also, too, it's 50-50. You're putting yourself in that spot there to get yourself caught up in someone else's mess that we've seen day 18. And I like how I just transitioned there from the middle groove to the low groove here in the 3-wide pod here with EG3. And we're still waiting for special guest Jojo Wilkinson here. So we were supposed to go on here some 15, 16 minutes ago now. But apparently she might have missed the time here. I have no idea. So we're probably going to have to take another break here. Check back in, hopefully get an answer in an email right away, hopefully, and get her on a podcast. I know she's not doing it on purpose, but we had time set differences, Central Time, Eastern Time, I believe Alabama. Yeah, I know Alabama has some of Alabama, at least Eastern Central Time, so I don't know. I think she's thinking about Eastern Time, like, hey, I got a couple things to wrap up. But anyways, we're going to continue to talk racing on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Could change here to the basketball while we wait, but we're stuck with the Wood Brothers racing for right now here in the show. But talk about that seats, obviously. Now, where Cedric's going to go, that's another question. Whether it's the 21 or the 2 car, well, it's yet to be seen there. And DeBenedetto, again, back to him, Matt DeBenedetto. Can he? You got 7 races to get yourself into the playoffs. Well, technically 6 now when this episode comes out, because I mean, yep, I'm leaving him in there too. I mean, he could possibly upset, get a win at World America, and shock the world. And now, actually, you know, come to think about it, he was running in the Xfinity Series race last year, so he has laps here, and he was what, second, or he was leading, or running was running the top 3 for most of the day, and then had a little incident coming down the final corner there, and he was heartbroken after that. So, you know, that's what it is right there. All right, we have to say, we got to take a side here. The red alarm is up, so we're going to take a timeout, and I'm going to have to call her back. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. EG3 will be back on the other side of this timeout, folks. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the 3-Wide podcast with EG3.
Thank you.
NASCAR podcast continues to roll on through the summer months. Eddie Greer, the third, aka EG3 for the 31 NASCAR podcast, Capable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you guys have been waiting for, joining me on the line finally after a little bit there. No worries. She's been doing well this year. Let's welcome on to the podcast from JoJo Wilkinson Racing, none other than JoLynn JoJo Wilkinson. JoJo, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem at all. How's your week going so far?
Really busy. I've been so busy with cheerleading, and I just got back from camp and then California, and then we're racing this weekend at a home track near me. I've just been so busy trying to get caught back up on the little things at home and trying to catch back up on time.
All right. I will touch base on the cheerleading momentarily there, but for those listeners who are new to the podcast, obviously, I'm going to let you take the floor for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and how'd you get yourself involved with racing?
So I started racing go-karts at age 9, but before then, my dad, he's always been in racing. He raced every single weekend, and I don't really have a mom around, so it's always been me and dad 24/7. I've been attached to him my whole entire life. It's always just been me and him. So we were always at the racetrack. We were always at the shop. I was always with him going, and all we knew was racing. So whenever he stopped racing was whenever I started racing at 9. I started racing go-karts. He was very hesitant about getting me in a go-kart because I was his little girl. He was scared, and I just kept telling him, please. So he finally let me in, and then I started racing late models at age 13. I won my first race at age 14 in a late model. I've gotten 3 wins in a late model at Huntsville Speedway and at Sayre Speedway down in Alabama. Got a bunch of wins in the karting industry. I love racing go-karts. I miss it every day, but I'm very excited with the future that I've got going right now. I wouldn't be able to do any of this without my father, and he's always been my backbone, and I'm so very thankful for that.
That is wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. Did your dad race go-karts too?
Yes, sir. He raced go-karts at age 5 and traveled the whole entire country with his dad and his dad's dad. So he's been all over the place with racing, and then he started racing late models, and then he started racing ARCA back in the day, and then he got married and had me. He still kept racing late models, and then by the time I got old enough to actually know what racing was about and what was in the sport, I wanted to get in it, so he just led that on to me.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you said you mentioned that you really enjoy go-karts there. How many years did you drive go-karts before eventually wanting to get yourself into other cars?
I raced go-karts from age 9 to 14, I think. I was still racing go-karts and late models at the same time, trying to get a bunch of seat time for me to be able to race the late models and know what I was getting myself into, but about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's a long time to do it, but obviously if you like to do what you do right there, you always love that, so that's very good. JoLynn JoJo Wilkinson here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast joins me on this edition of the podcast. Appreciate her for taking her time out of her busy schedule to talk with us this evening. You talked about cheerleading. What's been going on with that? Do you enjoy that, or where do you go to school at?
I go to Hueytown High School, and I'm on the varsity cheerleading team, but we're also a competition team. So we have practice every single day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. workouts, and then you practice till late that night. So I got into cheerleading because my sisters. I have two older sisters, and that's what they love to do. They love to cheer. So me and my dad would be at the racetrack on the weekends, and then Friday nights we were at football games and cheer competitions. So being around them and my dad, just racing and cheerleading, just that's all I knew. That's all I knew about. So hearing about cheerleading and racing, I just knew a lot about each sport. So I really like both of them, but my career is racing, and I'm a senior now. So I'm trying to live out my senior year and trying to get the cheerleading under my belt and get away from that and get into racing full time.
Now that sounds like a plan there. So have you got on a cheerleading side here for a minute, you guys have a good cheerleading squad. Have you gotten to competitions? Have you been successful in those, or just?
Yes, sir. We placed second at state, and we lost by 1 point, and that's really, really hard to do because in Alabama, all you do is either cheer, race, or play football. Those are the three biggest sports in Alabama. So it's definitely very tough, but I think with the group of people that we have in Hueytown, because we are a small community, we work really hard to be the best that we can be because we do have a strong name. Hueytown is known as, or known for the Alabama gang and a lot about racing. Mm-hmm. And they've won many state championships and national championships at Hueytown. So it's just a really big community thing for us Hueytown people.
Okay, all right. So where, for those of us that don't, now I'm originally from the South, state of Georgia, Atlanta, but I was born and raised in Stockbridge, Georgia, which is 30 minutes away from Atlanta. So, but kind of to go back to the Hueytown side of things, where is Hueytown located close to one of the popular cities in Alabama?
We're about 20 minutes away from Birmingham. It's kind of south of Birmingham.
Okay.
So we're about 20 minutes away from there. And then Montgomery, we're about 2.5 hours. So we're right in the middle of Alabama.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so I was not aware. Now, I already knew that obviously Alabama's big for racing, obviously, like you just mentioned, JoJo, and obviously football with the Alabama Crimson Tide, obviously, who just come off another national championship, but not only that college team, but you have Auburn as well. And I kind of want to stick to that here real quick before I talk more racing with you. Are you big, well, obviously with cheerleading, but which college team do you prefer? Alabama, who's been so successful for the last decade or so, or Auburn?
Roll Tide. And go to all the Alabama football games whenever we actually have time. That's something we did together whenever I was a little kid. So I'm always going to be for Alabama and Roll Tide.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Nice. Nice. That is nice. All right. Kind of to switch gears back to racing. I was looking over at your accomplishments up to this point, and going back to 2013, you scored 19 wins in that year. Tell us a little bit more about that year, and you were very successful that season.
So Dad knows a lot about go-karts, and he knows a lot of people in the karting industry. And actually, one of his best friends, Tom Miller, he grew up racing with him all throughout the years. And Todd actually is one of the ones who got me into racing with my father. And I drove for Tom Miller and my dad. They worked really hard together to get the best of the best. And they did whatever they could to make me run up front. We would have 50 go-karts there. And I would be battling with 50 other kids trying to get the same thing that I was wanting. So we had to be 110%, 24/7, and work as hard as we could. And we did that year. And as I got older, it started going downhill just a little bit because I was a teenager at the time, and I was in between wanting to be a kid and wanting to race at the same time. So that was kind of hard because I was also cheering back then too, and I was in school, obviously. But just growing up in the racing world, that's all I want to do. And I know that back in 2013, what I worked so hard for is actually leading up to me now. So I don't want to throw all that away, and I've given it 110% from whenever I started go-karts to where I'm at now. So if I never was that good in go-karts with my dad and Todd Miller, I really don't know where I would be at right now in life. So if it wasn't for Todd and my dad that year, none of this would even be possible.
Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson here on the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Gritter III here with Jolynn on the phone in Alabama, taking time out of her busy schedule this weekend to join me on the podcast for a little bit. Yeah, you have an impressive resume so far to this point, and well deserved. I've actually started to follow you on Facebook a couple of months ago, and you've done pretty well so far. I'll get to the season in a little bit there, but kind of to recap your resume a little bit here. 2014, 2015, you were the Frostbuster champion, Talladega Short Track there. Tell us a little bit, actually, kind of to stay on that here. Tell us a little bit about the Talladega Short Track.
So at Talladega, I mean, you still have Greg Farmer racing late models up there right now.
And wow.
87 years old, and he was a part of the Alabama gang, and he's one of the reasons why I got started. But you, in the racing community, you have so many great, amazing people, and I would really say that about Talladega because they all know what you go through with racing, and like I said earlier, we all want the same thing. So we always have to respect each other, be loyal to one another. So racing at Talladega made me into a great kid and made me want more than what others could get. I wanted to work very, very hard because of the people around me. They supported me. They told me, good job, good run, and I would run last. So just very, very nice people around Talladega, and just very loyal and respectful people in the racing world down there.
Yeah, obviously, we know they have the big track, the speedway track, Talladega Super Speedway, obviously, where I've actually been to Talladega. This was when I was a teenager. It was a while back. But it's now, to see where it is now, it's very impressive. The grandstands, I know I'm going off of tracks a little bit, but you know, going back to see what it was then and to what it is now, it's pretty impressive to see what that track has become of there with the grandstands, and obviously we know what the fans do with that track as well. So definitely the transition from back then with Talladega to now, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, I completely agree. Whenever NASCAR comes to Talladega, that's what everybody in Alabama wants to do, because we are a racing state, and we love racing with all of our hearts. And you go to Talladega, and it's got the best fans, and the stands are packed. And then most tracks don't have that. So Talladega is definitely one of the best tracks for NASCAR this time and day this year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, that's for sure. I agree with you on that. You mentioned a couple times tonight on the podcast, the Hueytown, the home of the Alabama gang. You already mentioned Red Farmer. Do you have a favorite person that you've looked up to from the Alabama gang, or was there someone else that inspired you to go into racing? I know you probably spilled that somewhere in there, but did you have a favorite of the Alabama gang that you wanted to follow?
To be completely honest, I love every single one of them, the ones that are still alive now. But Bobby Allison and Red Farmer, I talk to them weekly about my racing. I was actually in Charlotte for the truck race a couple weeks ago and met with Bobby and talked to him and told him how my racing was going and what was going on with everything. And Red Farmer, actually, my dad married his daughter. So he's actually a part of our family now. We see him every week. We eat dinner. We go do stuff. We go watch him race. So I definitely say Bobby and Red
are the closest to me. They talk to me about racing all the time, and they give me a lot of encouragement whenever I need it the most. So I'm very thankful for the both of them.
That is awesome. that's awesome right there, that you can have one of the best in NASCAR. You can seek advice there. That's amazing. That's amazing right there. So kind of to continue to go through the resume here a little bit for our listeners that don't know much of you. This point, 2015, well, actually, yeah, staying with 2014, actually, you were the Tri-State West Series champion. And the year after that, you were the Junior 1 Maxis National Champion. I hope I'm saying that right. I might be butchering that, but you can correct me on that. And you're also the following year after that, 2016, you were the Junior 2 Tri-State National Champion as well. So I'm going to stay there real quick. So tell us a little bit about the Tri-State Series, West Series a little bit. What is that? For those that don't know.
I'm not going to say back in the day because it wasn't that long ago, but a couple years ago, racing or go-karts were really, really big, and everybody wanted to do it. Like I said, there was 50 go-karts I was competing against in a junior class. So us little kids, 13, 12, 11-year-olds, you know, just little bitty kids out there racing, there's 50 of us, and you would travel from Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina. You'd travel everywhere racing the same people for the same thing, just trying to get that win, championships, and obviously money. Money's got a lot to do with racing, but we all wanted the same thing. We were all going for championships, but like I said earlier, Todd and my dad worked very, very hard to get me the best of the best, and we went out there and we won 4 or 5 championships, and by the time that we won all we could in go-karts, we decided to move up to a late model.
Okay, and how was that, and kind of to roll with you on that, how was that transition for you and your dad to go from the go-karts, from all that success, to the late models? How was that transition for you guys?
I'm not going to say that it was easy because it was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my entire life. It wasn't as hard on me as it was my dad because I'm his little girl, and he was also scared and wanted me to do the best that I could. So he was hard on me, but he was a good hard on me because I had no idea what I was doing. I learned how to shift in our neighborhood in some old Honda Civic or something, and as soon as I learned how to shift, that next weekend we went to Huntsville Speedway, and he just said, "You're just going to practice. We're not going to race or do anything." So we took the late model to Huntsville Speedway, and I practiced, and then he said, "Okay, it's time to go qualify." I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for all that. So I went out and qualified last. I went to go race. I got lapped about 5 or 6 times, but I finished. So that's what we were really looking forward to as a dad and daughter situation, because he wanted me to go out there and run the best that I could, and I did that. I don't care if I finished last or not. That's how I learned, and that's how I got better.
That's how you get experience, right? That you gotta learn somehow. Yeah, that's how you get experience. That's a big thing. You finish. So that's a good thing that you did that. So I want to back up real quick. So I know this is Wilkinson Racing. So this is you and your dad's team, right? Wilkinson Racing, is that right?
Yes, just me and him.
Okay, all right. Okay, so now, continuing the story, moving the timeline forward a little bit, going to 2018, you had 2 wins at Huntsville Speedway. So I'm going to stop right there, actually. So Huntsville, describe us a little bit, tell us a little bit about Huntsville Speedway, and where is that located, actually?
It's about 2 hours north of Birmingham, so about 30 minutes from the Tennessee state line.
Okay.
So it's northern Alabama, but Huntsville is just a short track that a lot of, like the Alabama gang, they race there. Bobby Allison, Red Farmer, Davey Allison, they've all raced there. It's a very historical track, and everybody knows about it. So on that Saturday night, everybody's there watching the race. You got 20, 25 cars out there racing. And Huntsville is just a very fun short track racetrack. You race hard. You've got what you got. It's not really about the money at Huntsville. It's about the car, equipment, and what you bring to the table as a driver. So you have to work 10 times harder to win there than I would say to win at Montgomery or the bigger racetracks like Pensacola, because there you're competing with money. But Huntsville, you're not competing with money. You're just competing with the other drivers around you.
I see. Interesting. So, and then that same year, you were the Rookie of the Year for the Montgomery Motor Speedway there as well. So then, fast forward a little bit to 2019, you scored a win and 10 top fives finishes at Huntsville Speedway. So again, what you're talking about there. So you've had some success. At that speedway, so you've learned and you somewhat conquered a little bit, getting a win there in 2019. And then I'll fast forward it to last year. You scored your first win that year. Last year you had 8 top 5 finishes at, you can correct me on this, and I'm probably going to butcher this too, but I'm going to say it anyway, so I'm going to go with Savory Speedway. Okay, all right. I was close enough then. So, again, like kind of the same thing a little bit. You know, where is this speedway located to Huntsville Speedway?
It's more close to my hometown. It's like 30 minutes from me, and I'm more South Alabama. So, it's about 2.5 hours from Huntsville. But Savory is just a small bull ring racetrack, just like Huntsville is. And, there's just a bunch of great people out there. There are so many fans and support systems out there that make you want to run and do the best that you can. And I've raced there a bunch of times, and I've only gotten one win there. Savory is a very hard racetrack to be consistent at because it's so small. It's tiny. It's a little bitty bull ring. You've got 15 cars out there racing. And they're all men, so you got to try to outdrive them. And they're also a lot more fit than a 14-year-old at the time. So they could last in the seat longer than I could have. But we got one win there. But Savory's probably the most fun racetrack to race at, for sure.
Okay. All right. Okay. Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson here on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast joins me here on a busy July 4th weekend here for her and myself here. Appreciate her time to share a little bit about herself and about the state of Alabama here. Okay, so again, that same year, last year during the pandemic year, you were the championship runner-up at Savory Speedway. Speaking of that, obviously we know what happened, what's going on with the pandemic last year and all that, obviously. So, Kind of to stay on that for a minute here, JoJo, how did you and your dad handle the whole pandemic thing? Obviously, with NASCAR obviously resuming their things last year after taking a little bit of a break there, how did you guys handle the whole pandemic situation?
Well, to be honest with you, down in Alabama, they really didn't care. They kept things up running. We maybe got a month off of racing, but that was also the first month of race season, like whenever it started. So we didn't really have much time off. It wasn't any different than 2019 was for us at all, or 2018. But we raced at Savory and Huntsville every single weekend. It'd be Savory, Huntsville, Savory, Huntsville, Savory, Huntsville, and then maybe a Montgomery race or Pensacola race. But last year, we really focused on racing these small tracks because I had a wreck in 2019 that almost ended my career. One, we didn't have the funds. Two, we didn't have a car. We had to build a brand new race car from Grand American. and three, I was honestly terrified. So we finally got back in the car and just raced at the small home tracks near me, and we only got one win out of that whole season, but it was also me coming back as a driver, getting back in the swing of things and getting back in a rhythm. But I was very happy with a second place finish in the championship. We had a bunch of top fives and top threes and a win. So that was very encouraging to me and my dad after what we have all been through after that wreck.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
JoLynn, you mentioned that you're almost involved in a scary accident. Can you, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more what happened to you at that time?
So in April of 2019, we were racing at Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola, Florida, and I was coming off of turn four, got spun, and I got T-boned in the driver's side door. I don't remember a single thing. I had a concussion. I was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days down in Pensacola. I had surgery on my foot. I came back home and was in a cast for 2 months and then a boot for about 2 weeks or so. And then I got back in the race car the week that I got my boot off. So we were very quick, and I only had about 3 months off of racing. So by the end of summer, we were back getting into the swing of things, and I haven't really thought about it since because I want to put all the negativity behind me, and it's only up from there.
Okay. That's good that you've recovered there and you're back on track to do what you love to do. That's obviously racing and continuing to get better and trying to continue to strive for your goals. So that is good as well. This year, now we move the timeline to the current time. You're a participant in the BRMR Drivers Academy, fast time in round two at Rossville from last year. And then obviously this year, 2021 Speed 51 Short Track Draft Fan Vote winner. Tell us a little bit about this Speed 51 Short Track Draft Fan Vote. That's a lot to say in one sentence, but the Speed 51 Short Track Draft Fan Vote winner. Tell us a little more about that.
Speed 51 is one of the highest, I guess you'd say, networks in racing. They do all the live coverage of the races, and they have it's called the Bull Ring. It's like a radio show, and they go live on Facebook and stuff. But I competed against 300 other drivers to win the fan vote, and you get people to like and comment your name or whoever they want to vote for on the Speed 51 original post. We won it in 2019 or 2020. We won it 2 years in a row, but I don't know if they did it in 2020. I don't remember, but this year was very special to me because after the wreck and stuff that I went through, I didn't really think that my racing career would actually take off again. So seeing that people were still supporting me through the good and the bad, it gave me a lot of encouragement. And right after that, I got the news that I was going to be racing for Bill McAnally. So 2021 has definitely been a blessing to me, and I'm so very thankful for God for that.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I know I've had a couple other drivers on this podcast that have raced for Bill McAnally Racing as well. Kind of to switch gear, well, actually, I have a question for you on this. So, first, you mentioned your dad several times with me tonight. What's your dad's name?
John Wilkinson.
Okay.
We call him Boy.
Nice. So you guys, your team, you two, you and your dad, you guys just go out and sign up for a race and just race it, or are you a part of a division, or you just go out and say talk to guys or gals about different types of races at a speedway and just race them, or what?
So So we're kind of everywhere, but we're strictly in the late model stuff. So I don't run anything else, but other than the late models, we race pretty much everywhere that we can, whenever we can race it. So we try to race every single weekend. But if it wasn't for the sponsors that I have behind me right now, nothing would even be possible, because Dad took a hard hit during COVID because he sells cars for a living. And at the time of COVID, you couldn't buy cars, you couldn't sell cars. So we took a really hard hit, and we've had a great sponsor. He's been behind me through everything, and it's called Instacoat Premium Products. They do a bunch of roofing stuff, like, I don't know what it's called, like insulation type stuff. It's okay. Like a rubber that you roll on.
Okay.
But his name's Anthony, and he's like a dad to me. He's so close to me. He calls me every 2 days asking me how I'm doing and what's next on the race schedule. And he actually just came on board for Bill McNally Racing for the Drivers Academy, and he's paying for 3 ARCA West races this year. So I'm very excited, and
nice.
I'm going to get 110% because he's giving me 110%.
That's very nice. Very nice there. That's awesome to have. Obviously, you hear nowadays about sponsorship and drivers needing sponsorship to continue the race. So you definitely, JoJo, have earned that privilege. You have people that really back you, support you, and you have a really good, strong backing. So definitely, you have people that love you and definitely support in what you do. So that's pretty impressive. So.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that, because I came from a small family, and all we've ever done is race. So it's always been me and Dad and my sisters and my papa, of course. But knowing that I have people behind me after everything that I've been through, it's such a blessing, because most people don't have the backing like I do. And I'm just very, very thankful and grateful for everybody that has given me so much support within the last couple of years of my racing.
Amazing, amazing stuff. We're in July, and I've looked at, prior to you calling tonight, I looked at your 2021 schedule, and going back, obviously we're in July now, as we record this podcast, you had 4 races in the last month with Bill McNally Racing, the Drivers Academy, like you mentioned on the podcast tonight. And June 11th, you scored your first, well, actually, no, your second pole of the year, and you finished, your best finish in the month of June was second twice, and you've also finished fourth twice in the month of June. Both of those fourth place finishes were at Irwin Speedway in California. And obviously, back-to-back days, June 25th and 26th, you were racing at Kern County Raceway Park, which is in California. So you've been pretty busy out there. Tell us a little bit about last month. Obviously, you scored a pole there at Irwindale. Tell us a little bit about that.
So me getting in one of Bill McNally's cars, it just makes me think about everything that I've put my family through with racing and everything that I've been through with racing. So getting in one of those cars means the absolute world to me, knowing how hard that we've all worked for this point in my racing season, racing career. I really enjoy being in the ARCA cars and getting to learn all that I can, because in the late model stuff, you're learning every single race that you're in and every single practice that you drive that car. So I love learning, and I just love being in one of those cars and being with Bill McNally Race Team. They always make fun of me because of my southern accent, and I'm like, I don't even talk country. They're just great people to be around, and I don't think I could drive for anybody else other than Bill, because I've been around him so much.
Right.
But I love racing with Bill and for Bill, and just so very thankful that he's given me this opportunity to drive one of his cars. And like I said earlier, it wouldn't be possible without Instacoat Premium Products and Anthony behind me, and also my dad getting me to this point in my life and my racing career. So being out in California just makes me want to work 10 times harder and give it 110% for what I want in my life, and I do want to make it to Cup, and Haley Deegan is one of the girls that I look up to a lot over really anybody, because she has the kind of the same story of me and my dad. Mm-hmm. I've talked to her a good bit, and I've gotten to know her. She has a lot of pressure on her, and she still drives very, very well for the pressure that she has on her. So I look up to her with stuff like that, and just very excited to get this 2022 season off to a great start too as well.
That's amazing. You kind of answered my other question. JoJo Wilkinson on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Appreciate her again for taking the time out of her busy schedule to chat with EG3. Just a few more minutes here with JoJo on the podcast. Prior to racing out there in California, have you been out to California before this experience or not?
No, I've never been out to California other than the racing combine in January for Bill McNally. He gave me the opportunity to come and practice with about 10 other drivers in Roseville, California. And he had two drivers per car, and there was about six cars. So that was my first time out there, and I instantly fell in love with the BMR team and being out in California.
Nice, nice. So obviously you raced in Irwindale and Kern County, as I mentioned a few moments ago. What did you take away from racing those two racetracks out there out west?
They were nothing alike at all. Irwindale, you run the high side, and Kern is more of what I've been on before, like Pensacola. It kind of reminds me of Pensacola or South Alabama Speedway, so I've been on tracks like Kern before, so I felt more comfortable in the car, and I was encouraged in the car at Kern because I've been on tracks like that before. But I wouldn't say that they were any alike at all, but racing with Cole Moore and Amber Balkin and Gabe Summers, we all had a great time racing each other. It was very fun and clean race, and we all battled hard. So I guess you'd say the racing was the same for all of us, but the tracks were completely different.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned just a moment ago about already 2022 already. So do you have any more races coming up for you? Well, at least short track anyways, in your home, near your hometown in Hueytown? Oh, let me make sure I have that right. Yes, Hueytown. You have any more short track races going on this year, Dorsey? What's the rest of 2021 look like for you?
Just running all the races that we can. We try to run every single weekend, but I actually race tomorrow at Savory Speedway. I haven't gotten in the late model in a while because we have been in California racing the ARCA car, but I like coming back home and racing because I have a lot of friends and family that come out, and like I said earlier, they're my biggest support system, and I like to be around them because they encourage me to go out and run harder and give it 110%. But yeah, we race Savory tomorrow. We're going to try to get another win. Just very excited.
Very excited. It's always nice to be able to compete in front of friends and family. That always gives you that extra boost to go out and do well for your friends and family. That always gives that extra boost. So you mentioned Haley Deegan a few moments ago, and you kind of getting to know her backstory a little bit, and you mentioned that your story kind of aligns with hers a little bit. Where did you meet Haley? Have you met online, or did you meet her there, or how did that all come about?
So we have talked on Instagram a little bit before I met her in person, but I met her at the Snowball Derby officially in person in 2020, and we talked a little bit and just got to know each other a little bit more. And then I was actually in Charlotte a couple weekends ago, and we hung out and talked about our racing and what being a female in the racing world is and what it's about and kind of our backstory of how we got into racing. And being around her just reminds me a little bit about myself and my father, because they have the same relationship that me and my dad have. Mm-hmm. They're very proud of us, and they're very hard on us, and so they want us to go out and be the best that we can be.
Yeah. I've listened to Haley talk about that a lot as well. So definitely, and you nailed it on the head there about Haley and her now moving up in the truck series full time, and with all the attention on her, she's able to go out and just do her thing. And she's been very competitive this year in the truck series. I don't have her stats in front of me at all at the moment, but she's definitely improved and definitely going. And then she continues to go out and just works hard. She actually one of the past SRX races. She raced against Tony Stewart, Michael Waltrip, Earl Francis Jr. One of those races he did pretty well in. So she's really doing well for herself there and proving that she can hang with the big dogs. That's for sure.
No, I completely agree. That's what you have to do being a female in the racing world. You have to go out and prove for yourself because all eyes are on you. You are the only females racing, technically. So whenever you are female racing against the people that you're racing with and they've got big names behind them and what they've done and won multiple championships, you have to prove yourself 10 times harder than what they had to because they're men, obviously, and they had it easy. So being a female in the sport is definitely difficult at times, but you also have a little bit of advantages as well.
Yeah, and kind of stay with you on that, obviously, with the I've had a couple drivers on this on my podcast, and we talked about diversity in the sport of NASCAR. Obviously, that's being taken a step further. Obviously, me being a African American who covers this the sport, the racing from a different aspect of things. I have Bo Wallace, obviously, Haley Deacon, yourself. A few other girls who are trying to live their dream to be in a cup someday. What are kind of the stay on this path a little bit? What are the advantages for someone like yourself that's trying to live out their dreams and trying to make it to the biggest level in racing?
For myself, I came behind no money, and I had to work really hard for what I've got now, and it might not be much, but it's more than what some people have, and I'm sure that they would be grateful for the things that I have right now going on. But I don't know, just being a female, all eyes are on you 24/7, and it's just very difficult at times because people don't know the pressure that you've got on yourself with all eyes on you 24/7. And it just gets hard. It gets hard every time you go to the racetrack and you've got people staring at you because you're a girl in a race suit. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't, like Bubba Wallace, it shouldn't be all eyes on him because he's African American. It shouldn't be all eyes on Haley Deegan because she's a female race car driver. Y'all are all out there for the same thing. We're all racing for the same thing, trying to win, trying to make a name for ourselves. So there's really no difference. I mean, you get in the car, or you have a helmet on, you can't see your hair, you can't see your skin color, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
So I look at it as I'm the same as you, and I'm going to come to the racetrack and try to get what I want and work hard for it. And we all go for the same thing, no matter your skin color, your race, whatever you are. We all go through the same exact thing at the racetrack.
Boom. Great. Boom. I'm going to leave it just like that. Hooey Town, Alabama's Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Just a couple more questions. I know I probably kept you too long, but looking at your bio prior to this interview, you like Mexican. Is that correct?
I'm what?
No, your favorite food. What's on?
My favorite food is Mexican.
that came out a little wrong. What's kind of the goal along with the Mexican food? What's kind of the favorite spot? What's your favorite spot to eat in Hooey Town if you and your dad want to go to town to eat? What's the favorite spot to eat? What's your favorite food to eat? Favorite dish, I should say.
Mexican, obviously, it's called Los Reyes. It's about 10 minutes from my house. Oh, it's so good.
fair enough. awesome. We talked about, obviously, racing and your cheerleading background a little bit. Any other hobbies outside of those two, or are you just focused right now on getting your cheerleading under your belt like you talked about tonight and your racing? You have any other hobbies that you love to do, or are you just focused more on racing and cheerleading right now?
I'm more focused on racing more than anything. I love cheer with my whole entire heart, but sometimes you just get tired of something and you want to move on and work for something harder and a little bit better. So racing is my full path right now, and that's what I want to do. So I don't know how much longer I will be cheering. So I'm going to focus on racing, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Obviously, we are recording this on prior to July 4th weekend. You're racing at St. Reed tomorrow. Got any other big activities going on this weekend for you and your dad?
No. Hopefully we'll get a win and then go to the river and hang out with our friends and family on Sunday for 4th of July.
Nice. That'll be nice. That'll be good. My last question here before we go to social media here. You mentioned 2022, obviously. Do you have anything planned at the moment, racing-wise, or you have something in the works? Do you know what's going on with that, or just focused on trying to win some more races this year and try to improve your craft and racing in the late models?
I'm trying to improve every which way that I can in the late models and then driving for Bill McNally. But hopefully we'll be in the ARCA West Series full-time next year. Mm. We've also got to get more sponsorship, but we're working on that. We're trying all we can, but the sponsor that I have now, they're completely behind me and ready to get things rolling. And right now it's just a little test for Instacote and see what they really want to do. With me driving the BMR Drivers Academy. They sponsor every race that I've raced with them so far, and they're loving it. And just very thankful for them, and hopefully 2022 will be a whole lot better.
Wow, it's been a treat to have you on Huey Towns, Alabama's Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Before we let you go here, where can we find you on social media and give your sponsors another shout out if you want to?
Instacote Premium Products. They, like I said, they've been behind me and my late models and driving for Bill, obviously, in the ARCA car. And then my dad, he's done so much for me. I consider him a sponsor because if it wasn't for him, nothing would be possible. But just everybody around me, my family, just because they also give a little bit of sponsorship as well, because I think of sponsorship as I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to support you. It's not all about the money to me, but I can't thank Instacote Premium Products enough. They're so amazing to me, and they've been behind me for 2 years now.
All right, and do you have a social media? Do you have an Instagram? Do you have Facebook that we can continue to follow your journey to eventually get the cup?
Oh, I hope so. But my Facebook is Jolynn JoJo Wilkinson, driver number 11, and then my Instagram is Joe Wilkinson with 3 N's.
Brilliant. I'll make sure to. I'll definitely try to follow you on Instagram here when I have a free time here this weekend and follow your success and see what you and your dad and your sponsors are doing. So you got something big going down there in Huey Town, and we definitely want to follow your journey to hopefully bigger things in for your future. You have a bright future ahead of you, so definitely. We want to continue to follow your success this year and into 2022. So that's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. I'm very excited and just going to keep digging this season and see what all I can do and learn and just try to make everybody around me happy as well as myself and just do all that I can do and then hopefully make 2022 a really good season.
Ladies and gentlemen, JoLynn JoJo Wilkinson from on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. JoJo, it's been a blast talking to you this evening. Thank you for taking time out of your super busy schedule to talk with me and my listeners this evening. Good luck the rest of the way, and hopefully somewhere down the line we can talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to you next time, going 3Wide.